This is The Headline with Brandon Waltons, where we talk about the biggest stories from across Texas. Hello, everybody. Happy Friday, and thank you for joining us on a very special edition of The Headline. I'm Brandon Waltons, the managing editor of Texas Scorecard, and we've got a brand new studio. We're breaking in today. The studio team's been hard at work all week on this. And to christen the set right now, I've got attorney Tony McDonald to talk about one of the biggest, if not the biggest story, that dominated headlines this week, which was this leak of a Supreme Court opinion that would potentially overturn Roe versus Wade. And when this came out on Monday, and this has really been, you know, it's been dominating the news cycle since, but when this came out on Monday, you said, this like never happens.
Well, that's absolutely right. I mean, there's a track record of leaks per se. There have been books written about the interactions between the justices, but it's usually just information. You've never seen ever in history a draft opinion like this leak out of the process before the opinion comes down. It's just completely unprecedented.
And so what are we looking at? Because we do have this draft. Chief Justice John Roberts confirmed that it is an authentic document, but it's dated from February. It's written by Justice Alito. What exactly is it?
Sure, yeah. So you got to understand the process. People go to the Supreme Court. They petition for the court to take up their case. Most cases don't get taken up. Once they are taken up, there's months and months of briefing. And then you go to oral argument. The litigants put their presentation on in front of the court. Immediately after that oral argument, the justices get together and they have an initial vote. They kind of say, okay, where do we stand after now we have all of the information that we've processed through? And so what is reported here is that you had five of the justices vote to strike down, overturn Roe v. Wade. Mm-hmm. Because Chief Justice John Roberts was not in the majority of that, would have been one of the four that didn't vote to do that, the senior justice, Clarence Thomas, would have assigned the opinion. He allegedly assigned that to Samuel Alito. Alito then started preparing this draft opinion, and that's what we've seen leaked out to the press from February.
And so what does, again, we don't know if this is going to ultimately be what the opinion looks like when it is released later on this summer, but let's assume that the opinion does look like this. What exactly does it say? Does it make all abortions illegal? Does it return it to the states? What does it do?
Yeah, so Alito's position is that Roe v. Wade, which basically said, hey, we're finding kind of in the emanations from the penumbras of the amendments of the Bill of Rights a right to an abortion, that was not good law. It had no basis in law. It had no basis in the country's legal history. And so it would overturn Roe v. Wade, and it would send this issue back to the elected representatives in the states to make policy, just like they do on any number of other things. Mm-hmm. So really critically in a state like Texas, where we have a trigger law, essentially 30 days out from a decision like this coming down by, you know, five justices support a draft like this. It doesn't have to be this exact draft, but something like this, it would mean that abortion would be a felony in the state of Texas.
Now, last question I want to ask, kind of putting on your prediction hat, I guess here. You've got a couple months until this opinion's probably going to be released, at least a month or two here. Justice John Roberts has said that this leak's not going to affect their work, but from a political perspective, you think there's going to be pressure being placed now over the next few weeks on the court?
Well, I think even if that wasn't the plan, this could have just been some, you know, angry blue-haired clerk who just dumped the opinion out on their journalist friend. But I think that becomes the plan of the left. You're seeing more and more rallies and speeches and, you know, I expect probably riots at some juncture. And they're going to try to apply pressure. And of course, the Supreme Court, these are just people. These are nine unelected lawyers who are put in a position of a lot of authority. And so they are subject to political pressure. We've seen that before. So we'll see what happens. We have a couple months to go.
All right. Well, thank you for that analysis, Tony.
Thank you.
Well, the leaked Supreme Court document is having some effects, even right here in the state of Texas. To talk about some of the political fallout, I've got Michael Quinn Sullivan here. Again, first time on the set.
This is... You left the country, uh-huh. And suddenly everything changes.
I know. Well, thank you.
Maybe you should be gone more often.
That's true. Thank you for filling in last week.
Sure.
I know we got a big bump from that, so we appreciate it. So just talked with Tony McDonald about, you know, kind of the details of this opinion, but there is a big political element to this too, which is that in Texas, he alluded to this, but in Texas, we have what's called a trigger law, which would essentially, if Roe v. Wade is overturned, would make abortion illegal in the state.
Yeah, it's been very fascinating to watch, the way abortion politics have played out over the last several years, where doing the biggest thing, the Texas just thumbing its nose at the Supreme Court and saying, mm-hmm. in Texas you can't kill babies, the whole abolish movement, that sort of thing, kind of a bridge too far, mm-hmm. for the Republican dominated legislature, despite what they say when they campaign. But they did the heartbeat bill, big thing, saving lots of babies' lives. That's good. But last year there was this effort, and you could see the political calculation playing out during the legislative session, for a lot of lawmakers who worked against the heartbeat bill, mm-hmm. behind the scenes or even in front of the scenes, folks who were going to be voting against the heartbeat bill, but who nonetheless wanted to be able to have some pro-lifey sort of thing that they could point to. Mm-hmm. And so they passed this trigger bill, in 2021, when no one thought Planned Parenthood versus Casey or Roe v. Wade would be abolished. Here comes the trigger bill, mm-hmm. Where it says, oh, if they're ever abolished, then abortion will be illegal in Texas. So easy to vote for that. And now suddenly you saw the calculations twirling for these, mm-hmm. guys who really maybe didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, because, I don't want to be too cynical in thinking about this, but if you go back and look, I mean, the heartbeat bill certainly dominated headlines back, right. when it was passed. This bill is actually passed on the same day, and they spent about 15 minutes passing it. I mean, it was something that went totally under the radar, right. and then now is potentially the most important bill,
right.
pro-life-wise, that is coming out of the legislature.
Yeah, correctly, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, the chairman of the Texas GOP, Matt Rinaldi, himself, mm-hmm. a former legislator, a number of Republicans came out early this week celebrating, explaining, look, this is exactly what the trigger bill, this is why we passed the trigger bill to do this. More noticeable, though, was the prolonged silence, mm-hmm. of the Speaker of the Texas House, the prolonged silence of the governor of Texas, who just, I guess, either this morning or late yesterday, finally got cornered and had to say something, mm-hmm. about it. But his Twitter account's been silent about it. His Facebook page is silent. Mm-hmm. While everyone else has been talking about this, Greg Abbott was talking about Tourism Week in Texas and other things.
Sure.
You get the sense that they were all a little embarrassed by having done this thing that is potentially going to save a lot of lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, and specifically in the case of Speaker Dade Phelan, Speaker of the House, he's unique in that Democrats are part of his electorate, right?
Right.
Democrat members of the legislature. And right now you see the Texas Democrat Party really, really doubling down on their pro-abortion stance. You had just earlier this week, you had Beto O'Rourke, their gubernatorial candidate, campaigning with Wendy Davis and saying essentially there should be no restrictions on abortion. At the same time, you've got, and I find this to be pretty interesting, the Democrats have a runoff for lieutenant governor, and you've got Mike Collier, traditionally sort of thought of to be the more moderate, position himself as moderate versus a far left state representative, Michelle Beckley. Michelle Beckley, when she left town for D.C., when the Democrats fled and broke quorum last year, she donated her taxpayer-funded $10,000 per diem to Planned Parenthood. And now you see Planned Parenthood actually endorsing Mike Collier. But the point is, both of them are making radically pro-abortion statements. Is that just the status quo now? Is there no room for a pro-life Democrat?
There is no room for a pro-life Democrat. There's no room in their party. Their party is closed to the idea. For better or worse, there are a lot of pro-abortion Republicans. There are a lot of there are a significant number of Republicans who think it is somehow conservative for taxpayers to fund abortion, right? And yet the Democrats have taken the absolutist, thou shalt be for abortion up to the moment of birth, is what Jen Psaki said yesterday at the White House, describing the president of the United States' views on abortion. The Democratic Party has moved from safe but rare and legal to, you know, just, you know, throw the baby squealing at Moloch. Mm-hmm. They have gone so far down the road of infanticide that hopefully this is going to be clarifying to voters who might in the past have not thought much of the differences because they were pro-life Democrats and pro-choice Republicans, and so they could kind of vote other interests. But suddenly, the Democratic Party is robbing a lot of those voters of that ability.
Mm-hmm. Before we go here, Saturday, May 7th, this Saturday, we've got elections in Texas. You got local elections in some parts of the state, most parts of the state, I would say, for school board, city council, thing like that. But you've also got these constitutional amendments, both of which the legislature says is part of a property tax relief package. Two questions. Is it really a property tax relief? And what are your thoughts on whether or not people should be supporting them?
There will be some minor reduction in the increase for a small subset of people. If one passes, if the other passes, it's probably a little more broad-based in that it is changing the way the homestead exemption is calculated. But at the end of the day, all we're doing is nibbling around the edges of property tax. These things, like, you know, I've already voted. I voted for both of them because there's no harm in voting for them. There is some minor harm out there for some people if you vote no. But I would suggest that anyone who is going to vote for these two things, thinking, now we've taken care of property taxes, you're deceiving yourself. The only way that we're really going to control property taxes in Texas is for folks who will do the thing that most folks unfortunately won't do, which is participate in the school board elections. You know, 95% of Texans don't participate in their school board elections, but school board elections are what really determines your tax burden, because the school districts assign, you know, 50-60% make up 56% of the property tax burden in the Lone Star State. So if you want to control property taxes, you got to make sure you're involved in what's going on in your school district. The Republican Party of Texas, for the first time, has endorsed in school board races, several races around the state. That is significant. The Republican Party and Republican General have said, we're not going to get involved in local issues. Well, the Democrats took over most of the school boards in the state. Again, explaining why, you know, you've got porn in the libraries and why your property taxes are through the roof is because you let the Republicans let the Democrats take over. So under Matt Rinaldi's leadership at the Republican Party, you do see now some effort by the party to provide a counterweight to that. But again, all that's for naught if voters don't show up in their school board elections.
Yeah, when government goes to those who show up, right?
Amen.
Thank you, Michael. Well, Roe versus Wade is not the only issue that's been sweeping voters' minds, as attention has continued to be placed on the crisis at Texas's southern border. We asked Attorney General Ken Paxton whether or not there should be an invasion declared on the southern border so that the state of Texas can take matters into our own hands. That was part of a interview we did with him this week. Check out this clip.
So what we've done so far, we have been involved, I think we're at 11 immigration lawsuits against the Biden administration. And there is a case that has a fundamental impact on everything that we've done. It's called U.S. v. Arizona, where the court, Supreme Court of the United States, has said, they said it during the Obama administration, that Arizona could not pass laws to protect their citizens. I think that is directly, that is the wrong answer. And so the litigation that we bring, and we have a lot of, we have more cases than any other state in the country by far, we try to go in with credible cases so that our cases are taken seriously. What I'm looking for to deal with that particular issue is a case where the legislature directly does something like that. They make some action, or the governor does some issue, some executive order that challenges what the status quo is on that case.
Well, if you want to see the entire interview with Attorney General Ken Paxton, you could see that at texasscorecard.com. A quick note, his opponent in the Republican primary runoff, George P. Bush, was invited, but declined to participate. Well, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Quick housekeeping note, texasscorecard.com is hiring. You can find out more about those positions at texasscorecard.com/opportunities. Maybe there's a good fit there. We'd love to have you check it out at texasscorecard.com/opportunities. As well as, I want to note that we've got applications open for our fall and spring fellowship programs. If you're between the ages of 18 to 25, or you know somebody who is, you can find out more at texasscorecard.com/fellowship. Again, thank you so much for tuning in on this new set on The Headline. We're really glad to be here. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to The Headline. You can watch the premiere of The Headline on our website at 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you like today's production, please consider subscribing and leaving a review on whatever podcasting platform you listen on.